At this time, we're going to dismiss the kids. But before you guys go down, children, if you are a child and your parents want you to, would you just come on up here? And if you're serving in kids ministry, could you come on up? Because we're launching, what we just want to do is pray and bless you. You can keep distance and all of that. We'll keep it short. We know that there's a lot of energy that's kind of building up right in this little area here. All right. Well, this is just a really beautiful thing. We know that Jesus loves children, and in our story as a church, children have always mattered to us. And this summer, a number of people stepped up and said, hey, we want to serve, we want to help. And so thank you to each one of you who are serving, who are up here already, and those of you who are sitting down. And to the kids, we want you guys to know we love you guys. We love that you guys are here. Your energy and running around doesn't bother us. We think it's a gift. So parents, be free in that. I'm going to pray, and then the kids are going to be dismissed. Lord Jesus, thank you for each child who is in this room. Thank you for each child that you have brought through the doors of our church over the years. We pray that each one of them would know that you love them, that they are loved and safe here, and that they would come to know you and follow you. And so we bless all the teachers and the work they're going to be doing, all the helpers, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. All right. Thanks, guys, for coming up here. That got quiet really fast, eh? That little, like, it was like a buzz, and the buzz just disappeared. Well, I want to let you know about two opportunities for you to kind of get connected at Cascades this fall. One is just Cascades Basics. It is a one-night event that runs for 30 minutes. That's going to be this Tuesday night, September the 14th, and it's going to be on Zoom. And this is just a night where you can learn about Cascade's story, about our mission and our vision for our city. You'll learn some things about what you can do to follow Jesus, to grow spiritually, and to serve within our community. And so if you're looking to kind of just learn more about us because you're a little bit new here, or if you're just looking for a refresher, this is a great opportunity for you to come, and it's just 30 minutes this Tuesday night. Kind of building on that is this another opportunity, and it's called Cascades Foundations 101. This is a five-week interactive course that will walk through five foundational teachings that we can from Jesus that we see in the New Testament. And we're going to go through how we go about following him in order to experience the abundant life that he promises. And so the five questions that we'll roughly be working through are, what's the gospel? What do we base our identity in? How can the church be a community for good? What is Jesus' mission? And how does Jesus empower us to join him in his mission? And so this is for everyone. If you're wanting to learn more about the way of Jesus, this is a great starting point. A number of you have been thinking about membership. This is going to be a required course to be part of to become a member at Cascades. It'll be part of a membership process. The first of two courses. The next one we'll be offering in the winter of 2022. This will also be a course for anyone who just wants to get baptized. What we want to do is provide clear steps for people to know, like, what's it look like? What's my next step in following Jesus? And so this is one of them. And so we invite you to join us. If you want a little more details and information, you can just go to cascadeschurch.ca/courses, and you can find a bit of information about what this course is going to cover. But we'll offer it downstairs in our ministry room, in person or via Zoom. And it's not just content. It's not just information. What we really want is for it to be something that speaks to the head, the heart, and the hands. So there will be things we learn, but it's also going to be things that get applied to our lives. And then we'll walk through, like, what's a practical way I actually bring this into my life this week? So those are two ways you can get connected. You can just jump into today's message. It's going to be a little bit different, but today is a special day for us. It's a special day. We're celebrating the launch of our fall ministries and the launch or relaunch of our ministry room. In Philippians 4, chapter 4, verse 4, Paul calls all Christians to, quote, rejoice in the Lord always. I say it again, rejoice. Now that word rejoice in Greek is karate. Sounds a lot like karate, but it's not karate. It means to celebrate. And Paul isn't saying that you celebrate when everything is good. He actually writes from a prison cell under less than ideal circumstances where he's been in prison because he's chosen to follow Jesus. And yet he's calling Christians to rejoice in the Lord always. And the group of Christians he's writing to aren't Christians that are having a great time themselves. They're facing their own persecution for trusting in Jesus. But again, he says, rejoice or celebrate in the Lord always. Celebrate. See, as followers of Jesus, we need to cultivate personal and communal celebration in our lives. And today is one of the ways we want to do that. See, you can celebrate in tons of different ways. You can celebrate by dancing or singing. You can celebrate by telling stories. You could celebrate by having a feast. There's many different ways to celebrate. One of the ones we're going to do today is by telling some stories. But before we do that, I just want to read this quote from Richard Foster. And this is what he says about celebration and its importance in our lives. He says, the decision to set the mind on the higher things of life is an act of the will. That's why celebration is a discipline. It's not something that falls on our heads. It is the result of a consciously chosen way of thinking and living. And when we choose this way, the healing and redemption in Christ will break into the inner recesses of our lives and relationships. And the inevitable result will be joy. In other words, joy isn't like this water balloon that just kind of lands on your head and just pops and just pours out over your head. No, it's something that we pursue. It's a chosen way that we live in. See, celebrating God's goodness and his love reframes our lives because we learn to see life in light of his love and goodness. It causes us to walk with a pervasive sense of confidence and expectation that you are secure in his hands no matter your circumstances. This is something that Paul learned. This was something that Paul was calling the disciples of Jesus to learn in Philippi. And the launch of our ministries and our ministry room are more than just about things that are restarting, though we're happy they're restarting. They are about expressing the heart of God, the heart of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. So if you have your Bible or a Bible app, would you pull it out? Because we're going to go to a couple of passages today that speak to the heart of God and what he cares about and what he celebrates. And so the first one we're going to go to is in Mark chapter 10. Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. This is a story or an account that Matthew, Mark, and Luke all speak of. And this is what it says. People were bringing little children to Jesus for him to place his hands on them, but the disciples rebuked them. When Jesus saw this, he was indignant. He said to them, "Let the little children come to me, and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I tell you, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, placed his hands on them, and blessed them. Lord Jesus, speak to us today. Thank you for this beautiful picture of your heart for children. And we pray and ask, Lord, that you would give us your heart, that your love for children, for the lost, would grow in our hearts and in our lives because you see us as children and as people who were once lost. Would we show that same love to this world? In your name, amen. You think about the many demands that Jesus would have faced in his life. People who would be clamoring for his attention, for his care, for him to heal them or a friend or a family member. And you got to just imagine what it would have been like for his disciples, who on some level are like, you know, totally looking up to him, wanting to become like him, but at the same time, maybe feeling like they got to protect him a little bit from all the different demands. Almost like they feel like they got to be his security guard or something. I'm sure Peter probably felt like that. They probably felt like they had to do that, not only just to protect him, but to protect his time from all of these demands that it just felt impossible to meet. And so here they are in this moment, they're telling people, no, that Jesus isn't available. In fact, they actually are like rebuking people for wanting to bring children to Jesus, for wanting to have Jesus bless kids. And so when Jesus sees this, he's indignant. It's not just that he was unhappy about this, quietly muttering about it or upset, you know. No, he's literally displeased and angry. Jesus felt anger about what his disciples were doing in this moment. And one of the things that we see Jesus angry about is his people hindering children from coming to him. His people getting in the way of children coming to him. It grieves him and makes him feel indignant. See, God loves children. He loves their curiosity, their cleverness, how silly they are, how much energy they have, how quick they are to forgive, how quickly they learn. He loves the way they can receive gifts with no pretense or pride. They just receive it. They're ready for the next gift. He loves the way they just receive and give freely. And you and I are called to never grow up so much that we lose our childlike hearts. And we need to live in that way in order to experience the kingdom of God in our lives. And you know, those of you who have been here for a while, you know that our story as a church has always had kids be central to it. Kids have always been central to the story of Cascades, as far back as an early 1950s. God moved in a guy named Tom McKenzie, and he was part of this church, Central Park Gospel Hall. He was a Navy man, and he had a heart for kids ministry. In the 50s, this neighborhood here was growing with tons of families moving into the area. And this guy, Tom McKenzie, he had a heart for reaching kids in this area. See, a lot of veterans from the war were moving into this area. And as a Navy man himself, he wanted to actually like bless these kids and reach out to them. So he started an outreach in 1953 and 54 to introduce these kids to Jesus. And his passion would actually go on to inspire other people from his church to be part of this ministry. And eventually that would lead to Cascades being planted here in this neighborhood. I have a question for you, and it actually requires for you to physically respond. If you or your children have been blessed by children's ministry at Cascades, would you just do me a favor and stand up? If you or your children have been blessed by the children's ministry at Cascades, would you stand up? If you don't mind us turning around and looking, like, look at how many of us are in this room, and then look at how many are standing. A number of you, I think you can sit down, thank you. A number of you met Jesus here through the ministry of this church, through Jesus working through people here. You encountered Jesus, your family members met Jesus, their lives were transformed. A number of us know that's Ron's story. That we know that was Ian, that was Everett. There's many others whose lives were transformed through the ministry that happened here. All because people like Tom took Jesus at his word and said, I'm not going to hinder kids from coming to Jesus. I want to help kids know Jesus and love him. And that same heart has been at work here at Cascades as we've worked to renovate that ministry room downstairs. It all started organically. I was talking to a couple of you this week, and you wanted to make sure I understood some of the origins of it. Because you said to me, you know, this started when we first started cleaning up and tidying the kitchen. There was a number of ladies that would come during the week to do that. And then that just kind of bled out into this other room that had been ignored, and it was dark, kind of smelly. And as you started to tidy it all up, you said, well, you know, are we going to do anything about this floor? Yeah, we should try to clean it. We tried to shampoo it. The stains wouldn't come up. But as that was happening, we started to see all these kids who were also coming here. And the stage that we were using was just so full of kids, it wasn't workable. So we said, well, where could we move them? Why don't we move back in that room where we used to have our children's ministry? And as that happened, we just started to see we need to do something about it. And it wasn't something we were trying to like scheme or plan, and you know, behind the scenes. It was something that developed organically. Whereas the floors weren't able to be saved, we were like, okay, well, should we do some of it? And that idea didn't come from leaders. It came from you who were saying, hey, are you guys going to do anything about this? It was a really cool thing. But over time, we started to see one thing leading to another. Lots of sweat equity. God moving in you to give your time, to give your money, your efforts to help rework this room. And today, right now, kids are in that room learning about who God is, what he's like. How can we continue to do that? How can we continue to be a people who love and point kids to Jesus? Well, we're going to provide a place, a safe place for children. All of our volunteers who will be working with kids, they've gone through training to ensure that we have great standards of care and safety. They've gone through and gotten criminal records checks because we think that matters, but that's just like a basic level. We want to provide a fun and interactive environment for them to hear and experience the love of God. That means knowing the story of God, what he's like, what he's done, who we are, who we're called to be. And that's actually the focus of all of our Sunday school lessons for this fall, is learning the story of God, because we think that story matters. It's a story that all of us are invited to live in. And see, there's a guy, Tim Hughes, he says, there's something about your destiny that lies in your history. It's about recognizing what's gone on in the past, how God has moved in the past to see where God might be leading you into the future. And kids, we recognize our future. Our history is full of God using us to bless and love kids. And one of the ways you can continue that legacy is by praying for our kids. And we're going to actually have an opportunity to do that at the end of our service. But our commitment is to love children because Jesus loves children. Next passage I want us to go to is in Luke 15. Luke 15. The beginning of this chapter starts really interesting and kind of sets the stage for what is to follow. There's these religious leaders, and they're muttering to each other. And they're saying, this man, Jesus, welcomes sinners and eats with them. And they're pretty upset about this. And Jesus recognizes this, and so he proceeds to tell them three stories, three parables. He tells them the parable of lost sheep. Then he tells them this parable of the lost coin. And at the end of the parable of the lost sheep, he says to these religious leaders, he says, I tell you that in the same way, speaking of the joy that the shepherd had when he found his lost sheep, in that same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who do not need to repent. Let's be honest here. Those 99 still need to repent. He's just speaking to the pride that the Pharisees, these religious leaders, have in failing to recognize that they actually have sin they need to repent of. But he's talking about, listen, there is rejoicing in heaven when one turns. Then when he finishes his parable of the lost coin, he says, in the same way I tell you, there is rejoicing in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. So he's using these stories because he's trying to get at something. He's trying to teach these religious leaders who are upset about the type of people Jesus is hanging out with to confront them with the heart of God. So Jesus tells one more story, one more parable. It's the parable of the lost son. It's a story of a father who has two sons. And the younger one gets tired of living under his father's roof and rules, and he asks for his inheritance early. He essentially is saying, Dad, I would prefer you dead. So can you give me my inheritance? I'll take it, and I want to live my life my way. And the father, in an amazing twist of grace, actually gives his son his inheritance early. And the son goes on to squander his wealth, living life his way, partying up, until he loses all his money and has no friends. And all he can do is work on a farm, taking care of pigs, which in Jewish culture would have been like one of the worst jobs you could get. He would have been unclean. And he finally comes to his senses, and this is what we're told in verses 17 through 24 of Luke 15. When this younger son, came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired servants have come, have food to spare, and here I am starving to death. I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired servants.' So he got up and went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to his father, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate." There's so much that is beautiful about that story. Some have noted how the son comes to his senses and he starts to get ready for what he's going to say to his father, but he doesn't actually fully repent until he's actually in the arms of his father. And he experiences the grace of his father as he embraces him. But what causes the father to celebrate? What causes the father to celebrate here? It's that his son was dead and now is alive, that his son was lost and now is found. What causes God and his angels to rejoice and celebrate? One sinner turning away from themselves, from other gods, from their own way, and trusting in him, in his son. See, what you celebrate reveals what you love. You celebrate what you love. Celebration is an indication of what is of utmost importance to us. It declares this matters. This is something that matters to me. And what is it that Jesus is saying matters to our Heavenly Father? He says that when one sinner turns, this is what matters. This is what we'll celebrate. When the son that was lost returns, this is what we will celebrate. It matters. Jesus, who is the image of the invisible God, who makes the Father's heart known to us, says, "Let the little children come to me." It matters to him. It matters to him. So why have we spent, as a church, more than $13,000 on repairing a room? Why have some of you spent your weekdays, maybe 5 days this week, even a Sunday working down in there? Why have some of you come for several weeks back to back, tidying up, cleaning, preparing things behind the scenes? Because we want an inviting room, a space that is welcoming for children and for those who are seeking to encounter the gracious embrace of our Heavenly Father. Because we want to be part of that celebration with God as children and the lost come to him. And because the heart of Jesus is working through you. And so it's worth it to give up that time, energy, money, to give up your comfort so that children and lost can encounter the love of the Father. See, God has this heart of a father. He's the Heavenly Father looking out for the lost. He loves children. He loves the lost. That's who he is. And his people, when we're at our best, we actually see we've been marked by his love. And so we love like he does. We love those he loves. We welcome kids. We love the lost. We don't ask the lost to be perfect, to confess all their sins. We love them first. We listen to them first. We embrace them because that's the heart of the Father. The ministry of the church is actually just a response to the ministry that God has done in us. Our ministry is really joining in what God is doing already. And it's his love that welcomes the littlest. It's his love that leads the lost to turn from their ways. And it's his loving embrace that leads them to embrace him. And that's my story. I was like that lost son. And I encountered a love and grace that was not deserved, but I just couldn't reject it. It was so good. Love sought me out. First, it softened my heart through the love that he poured out in people that ministered to me, but then he mended my broken heart. Many of you have that same story. Others of you were children, and you experienced Jesus welcoming you into his presence, his welcome and his invitation. And you see, our vision as a church is for that story to be the church of many in our city. And that's what we're celebrating today. It's not just that we have a nice new space, that's great, but that's not what it's about. It's about so much more than that. We just know that the things that we desire are on the other side of hard. So it's going to be hard work. It's going to cost us, but it's worth it. That's what we're celebrating, the love of God revealed in Jesus Christ and being revealed through us in small and humble acts. So how do we respond to this as a people this fall? There's several different ways you and I can respond. One really simple way is, if you're new here, just come to Cascades Basics on Tuesday. Learn about what our mission is, what our vision is, or about how you can grow as a follower of Jesus, how you can get connected here. Secondly, whether you are new or a longtime person here, join us for our Foundations course. Learn about Jesus and his way and how you can walk in it. Third, pray. Pray. Pray for our kids. Pray for our city. We're going to do that in a bit. But sign up for our prayer walk that I let you know about earlier in the service. Sign up for it and pray for the street you live on, for the street that is like where you work is. Pray for these different places. You may be one of the few people that are praying for those places in our city. It doesn't matter the number of people praying. It matters that someone is. You can be that someone. And if you don't know how to do that, and you want, we actually have resources on our website that walk you through how to do a prayer walk in a really simple way. And the fourth way that you can respond right now is through communion. Through communion. Celebrate his love through communion. We celebrate the God who said, "Let the little children come to me, because my Father's kingdom belongs to little ones like this." We celebrate that he died so that we could enter into his kingdom. We celebrate the God who sought us out and brought us back into the fold. We celebrate the God who sought us high and low and found us and rejoiced. We celebrate the God who in Christ jumped off his front porch and ran to us while we were a long ways off, who forgave us, who wrapped us in a robe of righteousness and holiness, who adopted us into his family, who made us alive. Communion reminds us of the extent that God has gone for us to know him. And it's at that table where he reminds us that we are his, we belong to him, that he knows his own even when they wander, even when they get it wrong, because that's the kind of father he is. Jesus said, "If you've seen me, you have seen the Father." So come and sit with him at his table, a table he has prepared for you. Come like a little child, not thinking of what you have to do for this or that, not thinking you have to prepare anything. You bring yourself, and you receive his warm embrace the way the child does, the way the lost son does, and feast with him.